You're listening to a retreat by Father Andrew Apostoli on Living the Our Father in Our Christian Life for Men and Women, given February 7th through the 9th, 2014 at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House. This and other retreat recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
My brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you His peace. You know, I'd like to talk about why make a retreat. A little introductory thought tonight. I hope the rest of the retreat will combine the Lord's Prayer in some ways for us to grow in holiness. You know, this year we're going to have two former popes who've left their mark on the church in our time will be canonized. There's Pope John the 23rd, who startled everyone. You know, they thought when he was elected that he was just going to come into the chair of Peter and keep it warm until Pope Paul the VI would come back from Milan. Because Pius XII sent Giovanni Montini to Milan, he said, "You'll be back." So it was kind of prophetic. And they figured, well, John the 23rd, he wouldn't do too much. I remember looking at him. I said, he doesn't look like the papal type of person. You know, you had the very stately Pope Pius the 12th, who was a kind of princely person. And John the 23rd, kind of like, you know, a little bit roly-poly. Huh? And I remember looking at the pictures, because they had all of what they called the papabili in the magazine. These are the ones who had a good chance of being popes. You know, and of course he really startled us, not only with the council, but even his personality, much like Pope Francis. His personality is affecting a lot of people. Pope John the 23rd, you know, he used to leave the Vatican, people wouldn't know where he's going, you know, and he'd slip out a side door wearing a black cassock and those round hats that the priest of Rome used to wear, black cassock. And you never knew where he was going to show up. I always tell the story about there was a hospital in Rome there, just about three blocks down from the Vatican on the right, if you leave by the Bernini columns. It's called the Hospital of the Holy Spirit. And one day on his travels, he ended up at the hospital, and the poor Mother Superior was the anesthetist in the hospital. She was right in the middle of an operation. So they told her, the Pope is here. She said, well, I can't leave the operation until it's over. You know, you take care of him and show him around and everything. Well, she was so nervous that when she came down and met the Holy Father, she said to Pope John the 23rd, "Your Holiness, I am the Mother Superior of the Holy Spirit." And Pope John the 23rd, he said to her, he said, "Mother, you're doing better than I am. I'm only the vicar of Christ." You know. So, they remember the secular press had dubbed him Johnny Walker. Remember that? Because he'd be walking, you never know where. Then there'll be Pope John Paul II, or as history, I think, will know him, John Paul the Great. There's no doubt about the greatness of Pope John Paul II. He brought down communism in Russia. He helped to topple the whole Soviet Union. His great teachings that he's made, you know, so many letters. Someone said the Catholic Church is going to be affected by his teachings for 75 years. Then his canonizations. He canonized almost more saints than all the other popes put together. Gave us many blessings. Made his world travels, you know, going on the World Youth Day of Prayer for the young people all over the world. And he was the most photographed person in human history. You know? Can you imagine those crowds? I remember the crowd down in the Philippines was 5 million people. It was estimated at 5 million people. And I knew a lady, she took some Youth 2000 young people down there to that World Day of Prayer in the Philippines. And I said to her, "Were you close to the Holy Father?" She said, "Oh, yes." She says, "There was only 2 million people ahead of me, but there were 3 million people behind me." So I guess it's what you claim is close, or how you determine that. Huh? But he drew those huge crowds. I think the largest crowd of any gathering of human beings known on earth was when he went to Mexico. Okay, when he went down to Mexico, and then he went to Guatemala to do a canonization of a great saint there. Largest estimated crowd of any human gathering in human history. So he was a great man. But he warned us of the present time. He has a famous quote, I don't have a copy of it here, but he said, "We are living in the time of the greatest spiritual struggle that the church has ever seen in her 2,000-year history. And this struggle is," he said, is being permitted by God to purify the church. And he said, "And I don't think most Americans are aware of it. I don't think most Catholics are aware of it. I think we're much more aware of it now." He said that in 1976. But he did say in 1980, after he had become Pope, he said, "We need to pray the rosary intensely." And he was the one who fulfilled the request of Our Lady to consecrate Russia to His Immaculate Heart. That's over. It's done. Take my word for it. It's absolutely done, finito, basta, everything, any other way you want to say it. It's done. Okay? Trust that the Pope knew exactly what he was doing. Okay? Even Sister Lucia said, heaven accepted it. Don't listen to these people who tell you the Pope didn't do it. It's not done. What they're saying is there's no peace in the world. There's conversion in Russia. They're going to have more religious freedom if this mandate thing goes through next month, if the Supreme Court doesn't turn it down, because it's such a violation to our freedom of religion. It's the First Amendment, the Constitution. Huh? We'll have more freedom going to Russia. They teach Christianity there in the schools. Okay? And they've had a great revival of monasteries and everything, churches being rebuilt. So don't listen to the people who tell you the consecration wasn't made. John Paul knew exactly what he was doing. Okay? And so he warned us, you know, of the age we are living in. And we see it. Because remember, Our Lady said, he said that an evil would begin in Russia and spread around the world. What we have today, as I see it, is communism here. This is what we've got. Nobody calls it that. You won't expect that from the media, at least not the general media, because many of them are thinkers along that lines, okay? But we can see the problems it has brought, and those are the challenges we face. So why go on a retreat? Well, first of all, we got to go on a retreat for our own personal growth, okay? If we're going to continue to grow in Christ, we need to kind of see how we're doing. Do you go for a checkup every year? I heard on the radio yesterday, the guy said, make sure you go for an eye exam every year. Otherwise, you might go blind. That's, you know, plus the general health of the person. I used to do a lot of college retreats with a lot of nursing students, and they'd come back for 2, 3, 4, 5 retreats, and they'd always say, "I'm back for my booster shot." And who can't use a booster shot? So we need it personally to grow in that relationship to Christ. It takes a long time to deepen in that journey. Well, I shouldn't say it necessarily takes a long time. It takes a lot of love. But most of us need a lot of time to get to that level of love. Okay? So the first reason I hope you've come is to know the Lord better, to love Him more deeply, because He loves you and me with a love we can't even begin to express. Impossible. You know, I'm reading the diary of St. Faustina and how deeply the Lord loved her. And she knew that, you know, and how much she loved Him. So we come for that reason. But we also come because we have to resist the radical secularization of our time. Something has happened in the last 20, 30 years, for sure. Loss of faith. So many people no longer believe, you know, no longer love God. And, you know, some of them just don't even care. It used to be important to love God. I don't know. I heard it from my brother, that the quarterback who won the Super Bowl the other day, youngest, I think he's the youngest person ever to win as a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He said he had a dream that God spoke to him and said to him, you got to learn a lot more about me. God can do it on his own, but he usually doesn't. He likes us to help him. That's why we have a new evangelization. See? So, the radical secularization of our time, taking God out of everything. We're being challenged constantly. The UN, attacking us for pedophilia. Do you realize right now the Catholic Church is probably the lowest of any group of anything of pedophilia? Because we've gone through a great deal of care to remove that as far as possible. Yet you will find school systems in big cities in the United States have more teachers accused of pedophilia, but they can't be brought to trial. They don't let them teach. They're not brought to trial because you can't sue somebody working for the government. That's hypocrisy. And we got a lot of that today. Huh? You know, we are the ones who are wrong. No, these people, there's no comparison. See, the only people you hear about when you hear about pedophilia are Catholic priests. So the assumption is that every Catholic priest is a pedophile and every pedophile is a Catholic priest. I was standing in a store in Orange, New Jersey in 1980. It had to be before 85, August of 85. I was just standing there online in a store. And a lady came up to me and she said, do you abuse children? See, that's the impression the media has given, and they don't like us. They are communists, many of them. And at least they buy the communist philosophy. And that's why the church doesn't get a break. But in some sense, it's good. You know why? Because it means we must be doing something right. It bothers these people terribly. So, but we need to be strong. We need to speak against this. I was happy to read in the paper just this morning in Newark. The paper there, our superior, the community, lives there. And he told me that the paper, it's one of the most anti-Catholic papers in the nation, he said. And that's the one that had the article about the UN condemning us for this and that. It said in the article that the Holy See immediately rejected it. You know, they said that's just a gay agenda and that's all that is. Okay? But we have to speak up. We have to live in a way to be not ashamed of our faith and not afraid to let people know what we believe. They can believe what they want to believe. I had a young man telling me some weeks ago, he was talking about homosexuality. Why can't we be homosexuals? Why can't people do that? I said, look, you want to be a homosexual? You can be a homosexual if you live in the world that you create. You create your own world, you can live in it. But if you live in the world that God created, you better do what he said. And he said, no homosexuality. So we have to speak up. We have to challenge our young people because they're getting this agenda now in their schools from the youngest years. The rise of immorality in our society. We need to protect our families, our Christian values. How do we do this? By loving God deeply, by being committed to him, by being committed to the truth. Bishop Sheen said, in the struggle between truth and anti-truth, in the long run, truth cannot lose. Why? Because the truth will eventually surface in the hearts of people. That's why as soon as they got rid of Brezhnev and Gorbachev came in Russia, what did he say? Our grandparents taught us our faith. That's 75 years of atheism forced on the people. And here's a guy who became the leader of the country saying, you know, we have to have faith in our country, you know. So he opened this floodgate. So no matter how bad it may look, Christ is always the stronger one. I remember a retreat that master, he said, in any struggle you have, you know, if Christ is with you, you always form the majority. So, brothers and sisters, we're in the majority, okay? Don't forget that. And someday when some of these people see the Lord, boy, they're going to run and there's no place to hide. So we pray for them. That's what we have to do. This is part of the people Our Lady wanted us to pray for. In persecuting the church. You look at St. Paul. He persecuted the church. He became its greatest apostle. So prayer can do it. St. Augustine said it was the prayer of St. Stephen as he was being stoned to death, and he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That prayer, St. Augustine said, was the prayer that won the grace of conversion for Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the church, and made him, St. Paul the apostle, the greatest of the apostles. At least in carrying out the work of God. So we need to protect our families, our Christian values, and Our Lady will help us. We've got to go to her. I encourage you to do what Our Lady said. Pope Benedict used to say, learn the message of Fatima, live the message of Fatima, and spread the message of Fatima. And in case you don't have a good book on that, there's a nice book in the library on the table in there, Fatima for Today. I can assure you I have known the author all my life. And you know, what do we have today in the readings to help us? We've got two great people. King David. St. Jerome used to say, we all must be careful, because none of us could ever hope to be as holy as King David or King Solomon, as wise as Solomon. Yet both of them fell. David fell deeply. Sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Killed her husband, you know. Later on, numbered the people of Israel to know how many soldiers he had. But he repented. You know, he said, a contrite heart, that's my sacrifice, O God. So, you know, he is a great saint. There's no doubt about it. God loved him. God loved David very much. And yet he was weak. And so we can't say, well, weakness is going to keep me from serving God faithfully. No, it doesn't. We can repent of it. And we can begin to live a good life. And so we have King David to look at in our own lives. You know, am I struggling with sin? You know, am I afraid? Do I think God doesn't love me? Well, he took back this young king whom he loved so much and gave so many things to, you know, just to remind us. He will forgive us anything as long as we go to him. And the second person we hear about tonight, St. John the Baptist. What a great saint he was. Jesus himself said, no man born of woman was greater than John. And he was the one who prepared the way of the Lord by his preaching and calling the people to repentance, but he also gave witness to the Lord by his death. That's what a martyr is. A martyr means, the word means witness. And John witnessed Christ finally, you know, by giving his life for the truth. And that's what we must do, is speak up for the truth. We may not have to give our lives. You know, we may not, that might be not be in the call for us, but we certainly can speak the truth. And, you know, people need to hear the truth, because if they're going to change, Bishop Sheen used to say, if you want people to remain the way they are, tell them what they want to hear. Makes no demands of them, right? Doesn't make them feel uncomfortable. You know, what was her name there? She was the woman with the, she worked among the poor. She's up for canonization now. She was a communist. She had an abortion. She used to say Jesus came for two reasons. He came to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And that's what Jesus does. And that's what the truth will do. See? So do not be afraid of the truth. It comes from Jesus. So John the Baptist was a beautiful example, all right, of that. And he gave that final witness to Jesus by laying down his life for the truth. So let us pray during this retreat for the Holy Spirit to come. He is the one who will make us strong. St. Paul has a phrase in his letter to Timothy, and he said, stir up the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, that is in you through my laying on of hands when he ordained him. He said, the Spirit makes us strong, loving, and wise. And that's the Holy Spirit we need in our time, who will defeat the evil spirit, you know, by strengthening each one of us to live and proclaim the truth. May Jesus and his Holy Mother bless each and every one of you.